Hey, we are back, JT. Let's talk about these Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
Our Pittsburgh Steelers
got that first victory on Monday night.
Yeah, but they were
30-10, man, at halftime.
They're not good for my blood pressure, though.
Wow, up 30-10, and it couldn't score the second half. Couldn't score. I can't remember, JT, how much time is left in the third quarter by the time the offense touched the ball. You know, was really, I think, a tale of two halves. You know, after the first series when Tampa Bay came out and they scored, and then the Steelers came back, got things clicking. The defense was balling, getting interceptions, getting sacks. I was like, all right, here we go.
It looked like the old Steelers for a minute.
Yeah. And, you know, I sat here, JT, and I said, everyone in the first 2 weeks, I said, chill. I said, you know, we didn't play anybody in the preseason. You know, we looked at the schedule. We saw the Cleveland Browns, and we said, well, really, this is preseason game number one. We should win that without a problem. But, you know, no one anticipated the rainstorm and the six turnovers, which was the biggest factor. So I kind of brushed that off and said, well, you know, six turnovers, you're really supposed to lose. And then the Kansas City game, we went down 21-0, but we were able to come back and make a game of it. And then I still said, well, you know, still preseason, you know, we didn't have a good preseason playing these guys, so the third game we should be ready. So I want to hear your take, you know, regarding the past game, and we'll talk about the game coming up tomorrow, coming up as well.
Well, first of all, the Cleveland game, you know, the elements, the inclement weather was a little played on it, the game a little bit, which I think, you know, had a lot to do with the speed of the game. And because, you know, Pittsburgh right. plays at a much more fast pace.
Right.
But then, you know, we should have won that game. But I think there's way too much conservative play calling when we get a lead. Like what I didn't see last week
mm-hmm.
is when the on Monday night, the Steelers, if you think about it, right before the end of the half, they had a minute and a half, minute 45 seconds to go. They wanted to put a stamp on them.
Right.
And they ran that 2-minute offense like beautifully.
It was fabulous, right.
But so what they should have did to me is they should have came out doing that in the second half. Really put the Buccaneers on their heels. But I think they got too conservative again, wanting to get James Conner the ball and, you know, get him those reps with running. But, look, as much as I couldn't stand it, as much as I cannot stand it in college football is when teams run the score up. But the NFL goes to show you no lead is a safe lead.
None.
Mm-mm. And even Kansas City, they went up on us 21-0.
Right.
You know, there was people leaving in the first half.
Right.
But, I mean, our offense is explosive, very explosive. But I just think the conservative play calling, the penalties are killing us. I mean, 155 yards in penalties?
13 penalties for 155 yards.
That's like turnovers.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
I mean, the
field position is vital. And, you know, we just can't have it, especially for 155 yards. Come on. And now coming up with this game that we're going to talk about against Baltimore, you have to turn that around.
Well, so, tomorrow night is going to be, you know, it's always a bloodbath with Baltimore. I mean, there's no love lost between these teams. You know, I think Ben's biggest nemesis in his career has been Terrell Suggs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's hit Ben more than anybody in the NFL. So, and Ben knows that. So, you know, that's in his mind. But I think the Steelers
and he's playing real good right now, Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two season-ending injuries in the last 2 years, and he's come back from both of them. You know, somebody like that, you would think at this point of his career, he would have retired by now, but. he has too much passion. And games like this, he gets up for big time. All those guys do.
So when we talk about Big Ben, he had a very good game last week against the Buccaneers. 30 out of 38 in passing for 353 yards, 3 TDs, and 1 interception. So he's the number two player, not player, he's the number two passer right now in the NFL. And who's in front of him?
Mahomes.
No, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, this is based on total yards. Total yards. Of course. Mahomes, he has like 13 TDs and no interceptions, which is crazy. And that's another thing, too. I have to ask this question, are we too hard on the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because here it is, we sit 1-1-1, and we played against two quarterbacks that's been playing lights out with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Mahomes from Kansas City. Like I said, he has 13 TDs and no interceptions, and the Kansas City Chiefs are 3-0 going into tomorrow's game. And if you're 1-1-1, the only thing I'll say is, yeah, we should have beat the Browns just because they're the Browns. But anytime you have 6 turnovers, you're not supposed to win.
Well,
so
the Browns are leading the NFL in turnovers. So, I mean, their defense is all over the
when
place.
When they get 6 from us.
Yeah.
when they get 6 from us, you know, that really helps. And like I said, with Mahomes as well, when you take a look at his TDs, he has 13. Half of the TDs are from us, basically. We gave them 6.
Well, and another thing is, one thing that I love right now is we've played 2 of the most lethal wide receiving teams, cores in the whole NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You figure DeShaun Jackson.
That's
last
what I'm
week,
saying. Yeah,
yeah. DeShaun Jackson, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin are the receiver out of Penn State. I mean, those guys were putting up big numbers. DeShaun Jackson, he's another resurged player in the NFL. And, I mean, if you seen him on that kickoff last week.
Right.
He took it to the house.
Thank
God for penalties.
I know.
What they call it?
That's what I was just
laundry,
about to say.
Laundry,
yeah,
on the carpet.
Because, you know, every time that happens, man, I'm looking around. Please, Lord, where's the flag at? Where's the flag? And it was fortunate enough the flag was there.
And then the week before, we had – I mean, Tyreek Hill,
right?
Sammy Watkins,
right?
I mean, Travis Kelce. I mean, when you have to see teams like that 2 weeks in a row, but at the same time, they had to see the same teams in the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, just mistakes, and I think conservative play calling has killed us.
Well, that's why I asked. But you were saying earlier with the teams we played and the skilled people we played against, are we too hard on the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because you know, one of the things I always point out to people, and I don't hear mentioned a whole lot, is our defense, okay? We know we have a terrible defense right now, but what you have to understand, our defense is in transformation, okay? We have a new defensive line coach. We have a new secondary coach. We have 2 outside linebackers that swap sides of the field. We have Terrell Edmonds, our number one draft pick, playing for the first time. We have Bostic, our middle linebacker, just getting started with the team. We have Morgan Burnett, if he can stay healthy, you know, he's playing safety too. So, I mean, there's a lot of transition going on this defense. So it really isn't all that surprising that that's our biggest weakness right now. And I can sit here and say, too, maybe the defense even won the game last week. Anytime you get 4 turnovers and 3 sacks and you get a pick 6.
Well, I was sitting there saying, as you know, the place where I was watching the game, I said to a bunch of my friends, has there been a Bud Dupree spotting anywhere? Has anybody seen Bud Dupree anywhere?
Uh-huh.
And the very next play, he gets this pick 6.
Right.
You know, they were like, well, you asked for him, you got him. Thank you.
And he had a sack as well.
Yeah.
And this is what's needed with the Steelers defense. They need to start to get that momentum and get better every week. Get better every week. And if they can do that, you know, always say 16 games, you know, that's a long season. So it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. That's what right. kind of product are you going to have at the end of the year? And if you set up yourself, you know, pretty good, you'll be ready. You'll be ready because, I mean, even, you know, you take a look at Jacksonville. They're not undefeated either. I mean, they have a loss. So we're right in the thick of things.
They lost to the Titans.
Right.
Who's hurt. The whole team is hurt.
Yeah, but the Titans always give Jacksonville a hard time. So I think they win the majority of their games. But then you take a look at New England. New England is 1-2 right now. So, and then you take a look in our division. We're right there in the thick of things. So if we could just continue to improve defensively and ramp up our offense, continue to do well offensively, I think we'll do well. And about offense, man, I have to bring this up, JT, because people are still talking about it. You know, I know our receivers are in beast mode. But did you see Vance McDonald's stiff arm,
man,
on Chris Conte?
That was probably one of the greatest stiff arms I've ever seen. I mean, they talk about beast mode, Marshawn Lynch's stiff arm against New Orleans Saints a few years ago in the playoffs.
Right.
But Vance McDonald, that was probably the greatest stiff arm I've ever seen in my life. Because not only – his hands are so big. It looked like he palmed – his helmet, and then he lifted him up like a superhero, and then he slammed him. I mean, it was just – and I think he's actually I think he's out for the season.
He is. He's on injured reserve now, yeah. Chris Conte.
That might be the last play he's ever played in.
Or Chris Conte, I should say. He's on IR. He said he might try to make it back, but you know, that was just a devastating stiff arm that Vance McDonald, and that was his first game back, I believe, for the year.
Because he's been known to have injuries, but when we got him from San Francisco,
right?
I think the biggest thing with him was he couldn't hold on to the ball as far as he was a lot of drop passes, you know. So, but I mean,
he didn't drop that one. He dropped the defender.
But another thing that was very impressive that I really didn't see before was the speed that man has for the size that he is.
Right.
That man was moving.
Right.
And then to get hit with a stiff arm like that at that rate of speed coming at you, and you're just a little lonely DB on an island.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he paid for it.
And then we have to give some credit from the last game, too, with our offensive line, because we had two starters out, Marcus Gilbert and David DeCastro. So hopefully they'll be ready for Baltimore tomorrow. But their replacements, B.J. Finney and Matt Feeler, really played well. They really did. I mean, when you don't hear an offensive lineman's name, normally, you know, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So, like I said, hopefully we'll have them tomorrow. We have to fix Chris Boswell. I'm not sure what's going on with Chris Boswell, but I still have faith in him.
I definitely do. I mean, you know, you can't turn your back on him now. This man actually won a lot of games for us last year, and I'm not just saying one or two. I'm thinking four or five, you know what I'm saying?
It was quite a few.
Yes.
It was quite a few.
But, you know, to his defense, when we played in Cleveland week one, the field was not great. The weather, like I said, the rain was just coming down. Because they talked about moving the game time because of the amount of rain they were supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was still a wet situation. So I gave him his, you know, a little hall pass on that one. But, I mean, you know, kickers get in slumps. And I'm going to say I'm not giving up on him yet. We paid him too much money, number one.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, we got to win some games. But I have all the confidence in the world.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, what's going on. But, you know, I think what it would take as well, JT, against Baltimore, man, you know, it normally comes down to a field goal.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him setting up for the winning field goal. Now, JT, I'm not talking about we're losing 27-25, and he comes in for the winner. I'm talking about
24-24.
No, exactly. Have a tie game, 24-24, and here comes Chris Boswell, and he's setting up for the winning field goal. And then for him to make it, I think something like that would be able to get him back on track.
It's confidence booster.
I mean. So, this game tomorrow with Baltimore is a very important game. Even before the game last week, the Monday night game, I was telling people, hold your horses, calm down. We could be in first place by the end of Sunday night. Yes. All we had to do was win the next two games. So we got one down with Tampa Bay. We need to get the second one against Baltimore. And, we'll talk about who we're going to pick in that Baltimore game too, that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game when we do our NFL picks. But, just from a overview standpoint, what do you think?
I think reeling off of last week, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win convincingly because, Baltimore's shown when they give up points, they give up points. And I don't think there's nobody on that team to me that is really worth worrying about. I mean, if you could tell me, and if I could ask anybody this, you could give me three skilled players on that team, first names and last names, you couldn't do it. It's a lot of people couldn't.
Yeah. And you know what, JT? They don't scare me. I don't think they have some of the pieces that they had in previous years. But, again, I think what it comes down to is will the right Pittsburgh Steelers show up?
Yes.
And don't turn the ball over. I think if that happens, we'll win. Just looking back on it, there's not too many games where if we don't turn that ball over, we don't win.
Right.
That's really the key. And I know right now we're asking Big Ben to do a whole lot, even though we didn't run the ball a whole lot.
Well, He's the floor general. When we win, but Ben will take the blame. He knows when he's not playing well.
For sure.
But he usually plays well at home. He played well at home against Kansas City.
Right.
But our defense just kind of let us down. But he scores points. But, I think Ben needs to should be allowed to call more audibles at the line of scrimmage, when he recognizes something, because he doesn't really get that free reign to do that.
See, I think he does.
You think so?
I think he does, yeah. Ben pretty much have total control to do whatever he wants to do at the line of scrimmage.
What has he done in the last 2 weeks that you haven't seen him do under Todd Haley, though?
Quarterback sneak.
Thank you. But he should have known that.
Quarterback sneak.
Right, but he should have known that. And he didn't have that free reign under Haley, so.
Maybe he chose not to do it just because he didn't do it.
If Tom Brady could do it, he runs – he's maybe 10 times slower than Ben.
Well, quarterback sneak has nothing to do with speed.
But you still have to be able to move because if something clogs up, you got to be able to move to the left, to the right. And you're 6'5". This is something – these are just common sense audibles.
Right, right.
But that's what makes me think that he didn't have that. And I think he used to get mad at Haley. And, and that's why I think Haley's in Cleveland.
Well, what we'll do, we're gonna take a break, JT, and we're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell when we come back. Yeah, we're going to talk Le'Veon Bell, and we're going to talk some more about the Pittsburgh Steelers and everything else that's going on in the NFL, and we'll talk baseball and some other things as well.
To advertise on Urban Media Today, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.